Citizens past, customers future. My name is George Smith. Date of birth, 5th of May in the year 3009, and born with a smile on my face. But then, who isn't? That's genetics. Date of death, 5th of May, 3079, obviously. 1 year to go to the big 7-0.
Paradise Lost in Cyberspace by Colin Slush.
At the stroke of midnight, my 69th birthday started, as all birthdays do around that age, grooving the night away at a ballroom rave together with my girlfriend, Doris. Drinking bottle after bottle of water to avoid dehydration, we spent 7 solid hours on the dance floor doing the foxtrot. Then the lights came up and the sun came up and the lights went off again to save electricity. Arm in arm, Doris and I strolled out of the club and into the 24-hour shopping mall.
Oh, George, a games arcade.
You want to go in?
It's your birthday, but yeah, I do.
Yeah, let's play Beat the Reaper. The arcade was full of people in their mid to late 60s, killing time. Every now and then a passing teenager appeared to gawp at us with pity, but everyone inside was having too much fun to notice.
Beat the Reaper.
The rules? You'll obviously have to play it yourself to pick it up properly.
Bounty hunters, prepare your weapons.
In short, you're a bounty hunter and you gain credits for every enemy of the state you destroy. All the time, though, you're getting older. If you reach the age of 70 and you haven't got the credits, the authorities start hunting you down, just like in real life. Of course, in real life, most oldies just turn themselves in. But when was any good computer game based on the actions of law-abiding citizens?
Happy birthday.
Look out! The age cop's nearly got you there.
Oh. Yeah, whoa, you're pulling me off!
Gotcha! I've made my first million.
Always the hardest.
A million credits bought you 1 more year of life. For killing a traffic code violator, you only got 5,000, or 10 if he was in a bus lane. Shoplifters, noise polluters, muggers, fraudsters, the bigger the crime, the more credits you've gained, up to the maximum, an OAP.
Sorry to do this to you, customers. This is a public crime alert. Kindly remove all VR apparatus and turn to the nearest vidi screen. This is the face of Mrs. Gladys Cookson, one of the most feared old ladies in the land. This short video clip was filmed last month by security cameras in the central post office.
Hello, dear. A second-class stamp.
Do not be fooled by her apparent sweetness of manner. This woman has refused the paradise pill, as the good book says.
The days of our age are 70 years.
We all must face the big 70 and swallow the paradise pill with dignity. Unless, of course, we hold an executive gold card. Needless to say, Mrs. Cookson does not hold a gold card. If you see her, alert the age police immediately. Remember, quality of life, not quantity.
Mrs. Cookson. The evil leader of the OAPs, the old age paramilitaries. I stared at her face with loathing. By cheating death, she and her gang of overage anarchists were cheating us all. Had they no understanding of economics? 1 year from today, I'd be taking my paradise pill with pride, proud to be doing my bit. But that was ages off. Back home, I had some birthday cards to open.
Boy, oh boy, George.
Is it really 69 years and 9 months ago that we inseminated the ovum that today is you? Wow. Happy birthday, dear.
George.
From all at Central Genetics and Cloning.
The same message every year. Have you decided what you want to do for the rest of the day?
Well, I think I'd like to plan out the year ahead.
In that case, I'll give you your present.
Thanks. I'll just open this voicemail.
From Central Admin. They aren't they going to say happy birthday, are they? Probably just about your pension.
George Smith, happy birthday from Central Administration.
They are saying happy birthday. Well, I never.
Today you are 70.
What?
70?
In accordance with the law, kindly report to the age police before midnight in order to take your paradise pill. With all best wishes for the future.
That's crazy.
I'd say it's crazy.
Oh, well, it'll just take one voicemail to put it right.
It had better.
Thank you for calling Central Administration. You are in a queue. Press star 1 if you'd like to hear some music. Press star 2 and carry on with whatever you're doing, and we'll send a dirty great noise down the line just as soon as we're ready for you. Press star 3 if you'd like to speak to Brian Kettle.
Who's Brian Kettle?
Who cares? I want the main office. Hey, I pressed star 2.
Never mind, just turn the volume down.
Shall I unwrap this, then?
No, not now. Get this thing sorted.
Might as well, while we're waiting.
No, leave it, George.
Come on, mate. We're not going to let a little admin cock-up get in the way of things. We'll sort it. Forget about it. It's a ring.
Will you marry me?
Why?
Why not?
You told me you never wanted to marry.
I know, but as you get older, you realise that... Oh, marriage is such a lovely institution, George. If one of us dies, the other gets all the possessions tax-free.
Ah, the phone.
Go on, George, say yes.
Doris, if I don't answer that, you could be a widow tomorrow.
A widow? So that is a yes.
All right, as you say, why not? Oh, it's not Central Admin.
Diary reminder, George. Appointment in 2 hours at the O'Connell Health Clinic. Annual nip and tuck of chin, belly... and other floppy areas as applicable.
I'll cancel that for a start. I'm going to the Central Admin building.
It won't be open yet. Tell you what, I'll stay here until this call gets through. You go into town, have a nice, relaxing facelift, and then pop into Central Admin.
Okay. Mrs. Smith?
Oh, that's so much nicer than Miss Chardapple Levitaborskopoff.
Dr. O'Connell's health clinic was high on the 25th floor of the Central Medical Block. Over the years, O'Connell had gained a reputation for making instant and accurate assessments of his patients' physical well-being.
Ah, Smith, you look terrible.
You really should install a lift.
You really should take more exercise.
Dr. O'Connell, I'm in trouble.
I know, 70 today, which makes any plastic surgery strictly against the law, as you know.
You've got me down at 70?
The age cops will be on me like a ton of bricks. I daren't even take the sag out of those cheeks.
But I'm 69, for heaven's sake.
George, believe me, I've heard them all.
But I've still got another year to go.
Dr. O'Connell, Andrea Sunbeam is here.
Sunbeam? Just press the security button, Margaret, and ask her to wait in reception.
Sorry, Doc. Some things just can't wait.
Sunbeam.
She's already gone in to see you, Doctor.
Yeah, thank you, Margaret. Yes, I realize that.
Why is she only wearing a bikini?
What's she saying?
And carrying so many guns.
Thank you, Margaret. I'll deal with this. How can I be of assistance, Sunbeam? A buttock trim, perhaps?
Can it, O'Connell. Tell him how old you are.
What? Me?
George Smith. Time's up, old man.
Who do you think you are?
Andrea Sunbeam, bounty hunter.
Oh, I see.
Keep out of this, Margaret.
But I'm 69.
Oh, sure. Like I'm a layer of subcutaneous fat.
Well, we can clear this up very simply. I'll double-check the records.
Plastic surgery on your 70th birthday? Tut-tut-tut. Forgive me for putting two and two together, but that is the behavior of an old boy about to do a runner. Been in touch with Mrs. Cookson?
Of course not.
George, you're 70.
What?
Trust me, I'm a doctor. All right, I accept that's not a great reason to trust me. Here, have a look at the screen. Smith, George, DOB 5509, DOD 5578.
That's only 69 years. Look, 78 minus 9. Work it out.
I hardly think Central Admin would make a mistake like that.
No, he's right, O'Connell. He is only 69.
Thank you.
78 minus 9. Good Lord, yes.
Mr. Smith, tell me, Do you believe?
You have no right to ask him.
O'Connell was right. Nobody had to believe in God. Nobody had to believe in the afterlife. But if you didn't, why else did outwardly decent citizens hit 70 and instead of taking the paradise pill, suddenly cling on to life, do a runner, join the OAPs? That was why the bounty hunter had asked me. But I had nothing to fear. I went to church every Sunday. Utterly, utterly certain of my belief in the paradise to come, I looked directly into her cold, lead-grey eyes, and something in me froze.
Yes?
I refuse to discuss religion with someone who relies on bullying and an unnatural array of laser weapons and the belief that the sight of her cleavage is in any way of benefit to the public.
Mr. Smith.
Yes?
Happy birthday.
Margaret, could you put us through to Central Admin? That's what you need, Smith, and fast.
I've been trying all day.
Sit down. Take the weight off your feet. You look a bit in shock. Tell you what. How about an injection of lamb's fetus?
Lamb's fetus?
They're dosing up on it at all the executive gold health clinics, and boy, does it keep them young and frisky.
With no side effects?
Nothing regular shaving can't solve.
Call coming through. Or if you'd like to speak to Brian Kettle, press star 3.
Okay, let's try Brian Kettle.
Look, who is he?
No idea.
Sorry. Brian Kettle cannot take your call right now.
You know, George, if you're not careful, you'll end up on This Was Your Life tonight. Wilma P. Random pouncing on you with her big red book.
No way. I'm going round to Central Admin right now.
George Smith, This Was Your Life. Nah, being on telly's not all it's cracked up to be, is it?
Welcome to Central Admin, caring for your needs from the test tube to the grave.
The Central Admin building was all on one floor. Indeed, it was all on one corridor over 7 miles long, with a desk every 10 yards, and behind each desk, a man in a suit. It was a totally Kafkaesque vision. Everyone looked like Kafka. I got past the first one with comparative ease.
Hello, sir. Can I help you?
Yes, I have an inquiry.
You'll want the next desk, then.
Thank you.
Name?
Smith. George.
DOB?
5509.
DOD?
That's what I'd like to talk to you about.
DOD?
Central Admin have got it wrong.
DOD?
5579, but your records say 5578. That's the problem.
That's today's date.
I realise that, thank you.
Appointment number?
I haven't got an appointment number.
You can't see anyone without an appointment number.
Can you give me one, please?
Me? If only, eh?
I want to see somebody!
Oh dear, sir. You've shouted. Now everyone's staring.
Central Admin have made a mistake!
Sir, I must ask you to leave the building immediately.
Excuse me, I think I understand what you're going through.
Oh, do you?
Well, would you care for a cup of coffee?
No, thank you.
Or something stronger?
No.
Or something weaker? Decaffeinated?
No, what do you want with me? Who are you?
My name's Brian Kettle.
Brian Kettle? Oh, how do you do?
Sugar, George?
Not for me, no. Thank you, though, for rescuing me from Central Admin.
It's the music, isn't it? The music they play down the phones at you? It drives you crazy, I'm right, aren't I?
No, not at all. It's the whole faceless bureaucracy thing. Like a machine with rules that are set in stone and not a grain of personal interest or discretion.
That's good of you to say, George, but I know it's the music. And I'm sorry. Truly, I am. It was just a thought that came to me, many moons ago. When I phoned up Task Force, you know, the campaign to save the elephant. And they put me on hold, and I was left waiting a long, long time, in total silence. And I just happened to remark to my brother Gordon that a piece of music would have served the dual purpose of keeping me entertained while at the same time reassuring me that I was still connected. A piece of music like the ending of Götterdämmerung, you know, Richard Wagner. Na, 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 na. You know the bit.
Brian, I'm sorry, but I haven't got much time.
Well, it's when the House of Gods is engulfed in flames, but the theme of redemption through love still soars above the chaos. Da, 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 da. Oh, God, I just love that bit. Anyway, Brother Gordon, who's always been the brain box of the family, Took it along to the local patent office, well, the rest is history. Except for what Gordon told me were impeccable commercial reasons. The music had to be played in a metal roll rather than by a 165-piece orchestra. Mm. And apparently some pieces lend themselves rather better to such instrumentation than Wagner's Ring Cycle.
Brian, how come you've got a phone line at Central Admin? Do you work there?
No, I just live in the basement flat. We share the phone lines and split the bills. Which actually can be quite large.
Oh,
it really did start out as such a good idea.
I left Brian Kettle staring into his cappuccino, for through the window someone else had caught my eye. Andrea Sunbeam, the bounty hunter, marching purposefully up the steps and into the Museum of Postmodern History. Why, with so little time to live, did I follow her? Out of hope? The hope that she'd know someone who could help me? The hope that somehow she could hack into Central Admin's computers and correct my date of death? Yes, hope would be one reason. And the other? Well, it's hard to put into words, except, well, I suddenly had a thing about Andrea Sunbeam. I could only blame that last-minute shot of lamb.
Welcome to Parliament Land, the only theme park based on the dark days of British democracy. The next performance of Prime Minister's Question Time will be in 5 minutes. Thank you.
Is there any grimmer place than a Museum of Postmodern History? A collection of exhibits, adventure rides, and crackpots from the 20 and 2100s, the two most murderous centuries since records began. Although, on the plus side, it was a golden age for the movies.
Can I help you, sir?
No, I'm looking for a friend, thanks. that's a strange outfit.
Traditional 20th century costume, sir. This headgear, interestingly, was originally designed for a pastime called baseball, for which they wore it this way round. Through that door, sir, for the new model of the Greenwich Millennium Dome, sir.
No, I'm going this way. I just caught a glimpse of Andrea Sunbeam entering the far gallery, or so I thought. The museum, typically for a weekday evening, was absolutely packed.
Experience for yourself the great pensions crash of 2029, the most influential event in world economic history. Just strap yourself securely in one of the fun ride money buckets and thrill to our big dipping roller coaster representation of stock market fluctuation and pension fund collapse.
There she was. She'd just joined the queue for the pensions crash, of all the attractions by far the most popular. As if to underline its relevance to the present day, the ride ended with a fully automated Wilma P. Random waxwork holding out her famous red book as each money bucket slid down the water chute.
This was your life.
I edged through the crowd towards her. From her place in the queue, she seemed to be scanning the crowd, one hand on the laser gun in her yellow polka dot holster. A bounty hunter at work?
Attention, all customers, attention. There is an OAP in the building. Do not move. The age police will resolve the situation as soon as possible.
An icy chill ran through me. I stood rooted to the spot, not moving a muscle as I waited for a gloved hand to grip my shoulder. Then I heard a shout.
No! Leave me alone!
It was the museum attendant, the one in the basketball hat. The age police had him surrounded, four of them. One tried to stop him talking, but got a bite for his pains. A pair of teeth clattered to the floor.
There is no God! There is no paradise! What kind of God would let this misery happen? Long live Mrs. Cookson! God does not destroy! Well done!
Thank you for your cooperation. And remember, the sheltering of OAPs is an offense against God and economics. For their own sake, turn the old dears in. Perhaps now is a good time to remind you that Hardly's Butter is now available in a choice of 137 different colors, including sky blue, apple green, burnt orange.
I'd seen the look in the old man's eyes. He turned to me as he was frog-marched past the dome. It was a look of terror. Terror and defiance. He didn't believe. And whatever they did to him, they wouldn't be able to make him. I stared across the room to see what Andrea Sunbeam had made of it all.
Magenta.
But she was gone.
And traditional yellow. Ardley's country choice. There's never been a better time to buy butter.
A dirty great noise down my mobile phone. So often embarrassing when it happens in a public place, but for once I didn't care. I was through to Central Admin. Hello? Hello?
Hello, Central Admin. What is the problem?
Ah, I'm sorry, is that a machine?
Might be. Who's asking?
Only I'd really like to talk to a real person, please.
If you wish, but some are a bit dim. Why not try me?
Okay, my name's George Smith. Date of birth, 5509. Date of death, 5579, which is next year. But according to a message I got from Central Admin, I'm 70 today, which is just plain wrong. So...
Hold on, I'll just have a word with a real person.
Thank you. Brian Kettle, I forgive you.
Hello, is that George Smith?
Ah, a real person.
No, not the machine, but a higher-grade voice box. Here's your message.
George Smith, date of death, correction. New date, 5579, i.e. next year. Central Admin Computers would like to apologize for the previous inaccuracy. This was due to human error. Happy birthday.
Life had never felt more precious, more worth living to the hilt. I raced back home with a 2-litre tub of pecan and praline ice cream to share with my fiancé in front of an old Laurel and Hardy video. Doris? Hello?
George!
Oh, you've been crying.
Oh, I've been worried sick. Why didn't you call?
I'm sorry, it's been one hell of a day and I've got another 365 to go.
Oh, George, yes! Actually, you've got 366. It's a leap year.
And guess what I bought for us to... Doris?
Yes, George?
Where's all the furniture gone?
Oh, yes. I sold it.
Sold it?
Except for the TV and the sofa.
Well, how come they're still here? No, let me rephrase that. How come everything else isn't?
Well, I used the cash to buy lottery tickets. In case... Well, in case Central Admin were right. I thought if we won the jackpot, we could get executive gold cards, live past the big 7-0 without any worries. I'm sorry, George. I just didn't want you to go.
Doris, you deserve a better man than me.
Who said life was fair? Oh, quick! We're missing the lottery.
So, our tanks once again to TV's Wilma P. Random for pressing the world's most important button. At 4, 12, 17, 41, 43, and 48. Well, I must admit, I didn't think we'd be seeing that combination tonight. Wilma P.
Those are six extraordinary numbers, Michael. Especially 17.
Have we won?
No, I didn't pick any in the 40s.
Oh, so we could still be on for a tenner.
Viewers, we won't detain Wilma P a second longer because in a matter of seconds, she will be thrusting her red book live on another unsuspecting 70-year-old. Stay tuned to Paradise TV for This Was Your Life after the break.
Oh, I like this ad. It's so beautiful.
Darling.
Yes?
Well, you know it's my birthday.
Yes.
Well, how about a little virtual reality sex,
Oh, George, sorry. Not tonight. I've got a headache. I really don't want to put a VR helmet on. Can't we just do it for real?
Oh, okay.
But later, George. The night is young. Oh, I'll go.
Let's ignore it.
Okay, I'll go.
If you must.
You know, a very famous man once said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. His name was Jesus, but he lived a long, long time ago.
Doris?
Today's wealthy men can simply say, so what? Because now those clever geneticists at TBG have created the new mini camel, specially designed to stroll through even the tiniest of needle eyes. One hump or two? Hey, make it three! The new TBG mini camel is the perfect gift for every mildly paranoid millionaire. Trust science to put things right. Science.
Doris? Doris, are you okay?
Surprise!
Doris, Doris, I don't believe it. You organised this
weeks ago.
But Malcolm, I've seen you for ages.
You look white as a sheet, George. Who were you expecting? The age cop?
Oh, well, you say that, but it's been a crazy day.
I know, Doris filled us in, but she gave us a thumbs up through the window. So it's all been sorted then.
Happily, yes.
Good, good, good. What was that?
Sounded like the kitchen window.
Can't be. The burglar alarm would have gone off.
No, I sold it.
Sorry to bust up the party.
Andrea Sunbeam.
You mean you know this woman?
Nobody move. George, come with me.
It's a bounty hunter, Graham.
No, no, no!
Doris, don't!
Sorry about your ceiling, Doris. Next time, it's for real. George, come into the kitchen.
She's very good, isn't she? Who booked her?
What do you want with me?
George, you've had a message from Central Admin.
Yes, I know, and I'm all clear.
No, you're not.
What?
The age cops have you down for paradise. Tonight.
No!
I have access to a lot of files, George. It seems you accuse Central Admin of incompetence. They don't like that.
What? So they take revenge?
I'm warning you. The age fuzz will be here any minute. Now, I've got to go.
Hold on, if what you're saying is true, there'll be a bounty on my head. Why don't you want it?
Because, George Smith, I like you.
I stood there, alone, watching the French windows swinging in the evening breeze. Then, behind me, the kitchen door slowly opened.
It's all right, Doris, she's gone.
George, are you all right?
Well, to be honest, I don't know.
Is that lipstick?
Come on, George, what you need is a stiff drink.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Mal. Yeah, that'd be nice.
So, who's the bird?
Just a minute. Was that the doorbell?
It's okay, Steve went to get it.
No, wait.
Everybody, look who's here.
George Smith. I'm Wilma P. Random, and this was your life.
You can't do this!
This is all a mistake!
Mind the cable, honey. We'll be back after the break.
Paradise Lost in Cyberspace was written by Colin Swash and starred Stephen Moore with Patsy Byrne. Also, Lorelei Kade, Jeff McGivern, Melanie Hudson, Chris Douglas, and Lewis McLeod. The producer was Richard Wilson.